Thank you, Patch Club. Appreciate that. Sing unto the Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Zach and May and Daniel, for leading in that ministry and encouraging our children to sing unto the Lord. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Second Chronicles chapter 36, I'd like for us to read verses 17 to 21. Second Chronicles chapter 36, verses 17 to 21. Verse 17 reads, "Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and to his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, we are thankful for the privilege of worship and to sing your praises and to study your word. And we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Oh God, please teach us, encourage us, guide us, we pray, that we might serve you more effectively, that you might receive more glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Because of the sin of Israel, the Babylonians were used of God to come in and destroy their city. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we have a record of the destruction of Jerusalem. Note then verse number 19, "And they burnt the house of God," that beautiful temple that Solomon had built. They destroyed it, burnt it to the ground. And then also note then verse number 19, "And they break down the wall thereof," the wall that surrounded the city, "burnt all the palaces with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels." So God judged the nation of Israel, and God used the Babylonians to carry out that destruction. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we have a record of that destruction of Jerusalem. And yet, in all of this, God gives them hope. And that's what verses 22 to 23 refer to. Let's read. "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord's spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, And he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Second Chronicles ends very tragically with a record of the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, destruction of the wall, the carrying away of people into captivity for 70 years, and the merciless killing of young men, old men, young ladies, old women. And yet in the light of all that, God gives a ray of hope, and the Bible makes reference to the Persian Empire. The Persians conquered the Babylonians while Israel was in bondage. Jerusalem was ultimately destroyed in 586 BC. That was the climax. It actually, it was in three stages. And 586 was the last of those stages where the city was burnt to the ground. And then in 539 BC, the Persians conquered the Babylonians while Israel is still in bondage. And the providence of God prevails because the Persians were not a people that gloried in keeping prisoners of war. That wasn't what the Persians did. In fact, they would encourage people groups to return to their own lands. That was a part of the Persian mindset. And this is why we read here that King Cyrus encourages people to go back to their land. And then following the book of Chronicles, we have the book of Ezra in our Bible. And we have a record here in the book of Ezra of that event. And it begins with the same proclamation that was given at the end of 2 Chronicles. If you go to Ezra chapter 1, please, in verse number 1 and 2, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And he put it also in writing, saying, verse 2, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all of the kingdoms of the earth. So we see here that King Cyrus acknowledges the God of the heavenlies. Amazing statement. A very powerful man took over the Babylonian Empire. And he acknowledges that it's God, the God of heaven, that's given me all the kingdoms of the earth. God has given me this position of authority and preeminence. And then he goes on to say in verse number 2, And he hath charged me. He took this very personally. God has given me the kingdoms of the earth. And this God, the God of heaven, has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. So God leads King Cyrus not only to allow God's people to return to their land for those that are willing, but Cyrus actually said that God has blessed me with the kingdoms of the earth. And God has commissioned me to to allow God's people to return and build the house of God in reference to the place of worship. So with this, he encourages the Jewish people to return to their land, and he makes this proclamation, this decree, in 538 BC. So 539 BC, they conquered the Babylonians, and within a year, he believed that God had spoken to him, God had stirred his heart. Note the wording then, verse number 1, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. My friend, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And God is able to work, and God's always in control. He's a God of providence. He's a sovereign God. And God stirred up the heart of King Cyrus. And God gave Cyrus a desire to allow God's people to return to their city and build their temple. Build a new temple. Because according to 2 Chronicles 36 verse 19, the Bible reads that they burnt the house of God. The Babylonians destroyed it, burnt it to the ground. And here we read that God stirs up the heart of a Persian king who acknowledges the God of the heavens and said, the God of the heavens has given me all this. So I owe it to him. God has stirred my heart to allow God's people to go back and live as they choose as a people. See, the Persians were very respectful of different cultures. You know, they didn't have the Greek mindset. The Greek way is the only way. You know, there is no other way. The Persians were very tolerant of other cultures, and they were for people living out their cultures. In fact, King Cyrus is known as the father of multiculturalism. Did you know that? King Cyrus was a historical figure. And if you were to take a walk or a bike ride in Olympic Park, there is a big statue in honor of King Cyrus, the King Cyrus of the Bible, who allowed God's people to go back to the land and build their temple. So he is known as the father of multiculturalism, a historical figure, and the evidence of that in our Olympic Park. God is good. God is good. King Cyrus, a historical figure that really existed, and even the evidence is there for us today. God used this king to allow God's people to go back into their land and rebuild the temple. And this was prophesied by a prophet of the Old Testament by the name of Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 44. This is an amazing prophecy that was made some 150 years before King Cyrus lived, was born. Isaiah prophesied around that 680, 70 BC. And he made this prophecy under inspiration of God. In fact, he even names him. Amazing. Isaiah 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. God is saying, King Cyrus is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. He's going to lead all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, and thy foundation shall be laid. Chapter 45, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of the kings to open before him, and the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. An amazing prophecy that was made and given by Isaiah the prophet 150 years approximately before King Cyrus was even born. And said, there'll be a day of hope. This man, King Cyrus, will commission the people of God to go back and build their temple. Amazing. Even his name is given. A confirmation of the inspiration of Scripture. So King Cyrus allows God's people to return to their land. And the prophet Isaiah, some 150 years beforehand, under inspiration, mentions the name and clearly spells out what he will do. Thou shalt be built to the temple. Amazing prophecy that was given under inspiration, proving the inspiration of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have a statue in Olympic Park of a king by the name of King Cyrus, a historical figure mentioned in the Bible, affirms the Scriptures. And then you've got prophecies like Isaiah's prophecy, where he actually mentions the king before he even existed, before even the Persians were the world empire. The dominant world empire. Amazing prophecy. And if you go back to the book of Ezra, Ezra said that God has appointed me. God has charged me. Strong word there in Ezra chapter 1, verse number 2. He hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem. What kind of a house? A temple, a place of worship. Now don't get this confused with the rebuilding of the wall. That took place some 90 odd years afterwards. This is before, okay? And King Cyrus said that God has commissioned me to allow God's people, the Israelites, to go back to Jerusalem and build a temple. To what end? A place of worship. Because with the destruction of Jerusalem, they had no central place of worship. There were few still living in Jerusalem in that area. Jeremiah ministered to that remnant, but not many at all. The bulk were either killed or sent into captivity. And King Cyrus said that God has led me to build the house of God, a place to worship. Then note then verse number 3, note King Cyrus's charge. Verse number 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. So King Cyrus said, God has led me, charged me to build him a house. And then he gives the announcement to the people of God. And he said, who's prepared to go? Who's prepared to take part in going back to Jerusalem to build the temple? Who's prepared to leave the safety and the luxury of your present state and go back to Jerusalem and have a part in building this temple? Who's prepared to go? King Cyrus didn't make anybody go.
It's interesting, isn't it? He could have. But he said, who's prepared to get involved? Who's prepared to go back and build that temple? And then in chapter 2, we don't have time to read through chapter 2, there is a record of some 50,000 people that were prepared to go back. Really only a small number compared to all that were there in captivity. It's not the bulk of the people. But 50,000 were prepared to go back. But also note there, verse number 4, the Bible reads, and whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth. Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. And whoso remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. So King Cyrus said, who's prepared to go? Who is prepared to go back and build this temple? And then he went on to challenge in verse number 4, for those of you that are not prepared to go, you could be involved by giving to the cause. You might not be prepared to go. You don't believe that's what you should do, but will you be prepared to give so that they'll have the resources to build the temple? King Cyrus doesn't force anybody. Gives a general announcement. He could have. Who's prepared to go back and build? And who is prepared to help build this temple? And with that, I just want to take a moment, church family, to just challenge the church family of 2019 that God has led us to build. Who is prepared to go? Who is prepared to support? I was hoping this would come up. It's not coming up, Mr. O'Sullivan, if you wouldn't mind. Oh, that would help. Yes, okay. So just like King Cyrus understood that, hey, God has led me, I'm prepared to give the authority, but who is prepared to go? Who is prepared to support the work? And I believe that for us as a church family here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, we are at that stage that we need to build. You know that. It's been a 7-year journey thus far. And we are at that crossroad right now. And the challenge is, let us build. Let us build. And just like King Cyrus was led of God to give the authority for God's people to go back to Jerusalem and build the place of worship, I believe that God has led us as a church family that we build here at Metropolitan Baptist Church so that the work of God will continue. Why do we need to build? Well, that's what? Go back. That's what we're going to build by the glory of God. There'll be a new first floor over the church hall. And it's good to see the lady smiling. Very good. That's what I was hoping. New ladies' toilet block. Aren't you happy that I've got that number one? Okay. New ladies' toilet block, new disabled men's toilet, new first floor above the hall. This is what I believe God has led us to do. Why? To expand our facilities, to better serve the ministry, to serve and minister to people in fulfilling the Great Commission. See, we have insufficient classrooms for life stages. You've probably noticed that. We listen in on one another's songs, announcements, prayers, messages. And you are a very patient people. I thank God for you. But I think we need to move on, do we not? I think we need proper classrooms. Insufficient toilet facilities. I don't think I need to convince you of that very fact. Two toilets, outside toilets. I don't think any of you have an outside, well, if you have an outside toilet, you probably have an inside toilet. We don't have an inside toilet here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. So I think we can move on from that, don't you think? Yeah. Insufficient facilities for the disadvantaged. As you've probably noticed, our facilities is a little bit of a rabbit warren. So we want to eliminate that insufficient storage space. That goes without saying. We store things under the church building, and unfortunately, some of that stuff goes moldy. It's not the ideal, okay? The church doesn't have a church office, okay? We don't have a church office, hence we have the church photocopier behind the PA department there. You might have noticed that. That is not ideal, you know? So that is the church office, PA department. I think we can move on, don't you think? The pastor doesn't have an office. The pastor just camps around the back here, behind the baptistry. That's where he keeps his bag. Pastor, when he needs to counsel somebody, just looks for a quiet spot. We don't have a, you know, whoever the pastor that takes after me, I think he needs a office. Okay, and the church needs a church office. And this is why I believe that God would have us to build. This is just a little bit of an idea of if you haven't taken the time to have a look at the plans next door, let me encourage you. There'll be a new ramp leading into the middle part here, that middle section there, that encompasses the kitchen and the little Sunday school room. That will be the new ramp. Go back. That'll be the new entrance there, so people can turn left, go into the main auditorium, turn right and go into the hall, kitchen, and so on. So this new toilet block will be at the front here. You won't need to trample all the way through here, all the way there, back there, any longer. Those toilets will still, they are nostalgic. We can't get rid of the metro toilet block, can we? That's got to stay. So they will stay. We'll have a new block here, ladies, and this will be the disabled here, and also available for the men to use as well. And we'll have classrooms, partitions, 1, 2, 3, potentially 4 classrooms downstairs with proper partitioning that will actually close and have some privacy. And this will be the new nursery on the ground level. Okay. So ladies, have lots of babies. Okay. And we'll put a nice nursery for you there. Because pastor's taking over the nursery. That'll be the pastor's office. Okay? I love babies, so I'm honored to take over the nursery. That's going to be pastor's office. And this will be the new nursery facilities there. So mums with babies are about to have easy access and access to outside and et cetera, et cetera. That's the ground floor. There'll be 2 staircases going upstairs. One there, one at the far end. The first floor, there'll be 6 classrooms in the first floor. Potentially 6 classrooms. We will have 1, 2, 3 fixed classrooms. And then 1, 2, 3 that can become classrooms by these partitions. So potentially 6 classrooms upstairs, 4 classrooms downstairs. We can cater and have different Bible study groups And we can even be more specific as the church grows. We'll better have a junior teen class. We can have an older teen class. So we have plenty of scope. Okay, these partitions will open up. So therefore, this will be an open area for fellowship. And the same applies for down here. These partitions can either become classrooms or they can be set aside, and this is all open hall area, just as we have now. So there'll be greater versatility, greater means of accommodating the ministry here. This church facility can seat comfortably 200 people. So we have room to grow. But we do not have at present the facilities to cater adequately for 100 people. Hence, let us build. Ten new classrooms, and by the way, upstairs here, there will be a shower toilet there, Lord willing. So this room here can be used as a prophet's chamber to accommodate missionaries passing through. So we'll have that. That is not the priority. The priority is the classrooms. But that will be an added benefit. So we believe before God that this design will lead the church on to the next stage. And so we can cater for what we have now, have proper classrooms, proper toilet facilities, have leveled areas where people can access all the main areas of the church without going up and down steps. We believe this will meet the needs. Metropolitan Baptist Church formally began in 1974. This is the building there. In Chatswood, where we first met for the first 13 years. This is retro stuff. I didn't know I was going to do this. Okay, don't run away. All right, this is the old Metro building. Hang on, you're not meant to do that. Stop. This is the new facility. 1987, the church of 1987 moved into this facility here. This is the church of 1987 that caught the vision for a facility of their own. And we've enjoyed this facility since then. This is the opening service. Friends and people of like faith joined that opening service. So the church of 1987 got behind their pastor and said, let's build. And they purchased this church from the Anglicans and, praise God, turned it into a Baptist church. But I thank God for the people of 1974 that were faithful to the Word of God. And there in Chatswood on the corner of Daisy and Anderson Street, I was saved through that ministry there. It was only a rented facility, and it was from there that... oh, now it's moving, okay. That's the old church there. Now the Catholics own it. Thought you might like to know that. There's Pastor Piper, involved in that church. There's Pastor Chris Ball, who led me to Christ. These were foundational people in that church. But I thank God that that church family, as the church began to grow, they said, we need our own facility. And through that, God enabled the people to purchase this current facility. And we thank God for that. But church family, it's time for us to move on. We are the church of 2019. Will you get involved, church of 2019, to move on? As I said, this church can seat comfortably 200 people if we put all of our church pews out. But we cannot adequately cater for 100 people. We've got to move on, church family. Even if it's the means of pastor going to glory, we're going to move on. We need to move on. And just like King Cyrus said to the people, who's prepared to go? Who's prepared to support? I'd like to challenge you, church of 2019, to pray. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. And also support practically. There might be ways that you can help. It's not cheap to hire a painter. I know some of you men can paint. I have inside information. That will save us a lot of money. So there might be ways you can help practically. But I think we can all do this. Give so we can build. Pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And take the banner, take the baton and say, I'm the church of 2019 and I have the opportunity to help Metropolitan Baptist Church, a Bible-believing church that stands for the old paths of the Word of God, that by God's grace has existed to this day for the past 45 years. This year will be 45 years for Metropolitan Baptist Church. And we have the opportunity to help the church move on. Who will go? Who will give? Think of your children. Think of your grandchildren. Think of the next generation. Pray. Be prepared to support practically and give as God leads you. So just like God stirred the heart of King Cyrus, I believe that God has stirred our hearts. We need to build. We cannot effectively grow and minister with what we have now. Do you agree with me? I think it's pretty obvious. We're the church of 2019. We have an opportunity to do our part in seeing this church have facilities that will enable the church to reach more people for Jesus Christ. I thank God for the church of 1974. And I thank God for the church of 1987 that got us here. We're the church of 2019. Let us build for the glory of God. So we can reach more people and minister more effectively to God's people. And people in this community will see that there is a God in heaven. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.